Last night before leaving work, I noticed a post on Facebook from Karen Wright Fraser saying how she hoped people would come down to the Fred Henney Park Cultural Site near the Big Teepee for some tea, bannock, and storytelling. And if you know me, I love a really great story with my tea and bannock. So I made my way to the spot and I found the group. Soon as I got there, Karen Wright Fraser tells this amazing story of a Gwich'in woman who was abandoned by her people in the middle of the winter, but still managed to survive. It's incredible. Here, have a listen.
Many years ago, say in 1832, let's say, and a nomadic tribe was traveling in the winter, and they were following the caribou herd, and they were pretty much starving. They were really hungry because the caribou were not plentiful. So they would stop and set up a camp, and they would set up all their tents and their teepees and start their fires, and everybody had their jobs to do. So this young lady, her name is Kinik Onicha. She was recently married, but she was married by when your parents...
Arranged
marriage. So she was in an arranged marriage, but she still liked the fella, and it was not so bad. They got along, and she was very, very skilled with her hands, and she could sew anything. And some days when the hunters are out and they're trying to get some meat and game for the rest of the tribe, the ladies would do all their chores, and they'd be cooking and cleaning and watching the children, and then they would also sew. So one day they were sitting around, a bunch of ladies were sitting and sewing, and the young lady, Kinik Onicha, she was just kidding, she was joking, and she said, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to sew for my husband," and she laughed. Well, just then the chief walked by, and he didn't laugh, and he did not take that very well at all. As a matter of fact, he was very offended. And he called everybody who was in the camp to come. And he scolded her in front of everybody. And he told everyone that this is very serious, that you cannot make a joke about sewing for the men in the group when the women have to sew for the men so they could go get food for the survival of the whole tribe. And she said, I'm sorry, I was joking. And he said, it's nothing to laugh about. So everybody gathered around. Now everyone was back from the hunting trip, and they all gathered around, and he was really upset. And he told everybody to take the camp down, and they're leaving, except for her. She was banished. She cried and cried and said, please, I beg you. She says, I did not mean it. And he said, nope. And he told her husband and her family not even to look at her. And she called for her husband and said, please help me, don't leave me. And the chief said everybody was to pack up, and they're leaving right away. Her husband couldn't look at her, and she kept crying and crying. Her mother couldn't look at her, and her heart was breaking. And the wind was blowing, and it was cold, snowy. And she asked everybody, please don't leave me. And they couldn't look at her. And they were all going, and everybody, they weren't saying a word. But the last person who was leaving the camp, it was her partner. That's what they called her, your best friend, as your partner. She whispered something to her as everybody was leaving. She made sure she stayed behind a little, and she didn't look at her, but she just whispered, I left something for you by my fire, she said, under the snow. And she was just frozen with nothing on, and she's frozen, and she's just waiting until they're gone, so make sure the chief doesn't see her, the leader. So she gets up and she runs to her friend's fireplace, and she starts digging around the snow. And her friend left her from the birch. It's a birch fungus, and inside there was an ember from the fire, and it stays like... And she thought, oh, my God, she's going to save me. And she left her a little piece of sinew. and she kept them, and she went to the trees and she took off some bark. She peeled it off and she carefully took anything she could, and she made herself a fire, and she warmed up, and there was a fire with for her. And after she warmed up enough and she made herself a little lean-to from the trees and the branches, and she helped herself and she kept warm, and then she took the sinew, and she knows, she always listened to her mom and dad and watch how everybody works in the group. So she had to make herself a little snare, and she kept warm and she kept warm, and all of a sudden there was a raven, and she caught a raven in there, and she killed the raven, she skinned it out, and she set another one, and she caught another raven. Even they're very, very tricky, but somebody was looking after her. She skinned that one out, and she started making, like, she made shoes for herself. She put shoes, and she kept making snares, and she got a little rabbit, and she kept making more and more little pieces of clothing to keep her warm. And then she, with the rabbits and everything, she had some food to eat with the fire, and she started getting better and better, and she had food. Pretty soon she had furs. She smoked the caribou hide. She knows how to tan it. And now she made herself more clothes. That she just warm now. She could just do anything. Hey, she was good. She started making caribou dry meat. She made herself babish bake with the babish from the caribou. This wasn't on there, though. She put dry meat in there and dry fish, and it stays fresh. And she made herself a little cache where she puts the meat on top so any other animals can't get it when she's sleeping. And every day now, the days were going every day all by herself. It was going long, just like the days were so long. So she keeps herself so busy. So she has a whole bunch of fish and meat dried and berries now and all kinds of clothing and everything made really pretty and nice. And one day she's walking down by the water and she's just doing something, and all of a sudden she heard voices. So she got so scared and she started running back to hide behind the bush. And somebody said, "Klinik Onicha." And she's trying to hide. They said, "Was that you?" And she's so scared, and her heart is pounding, and she's thinking that they would kill her if they find her because she was banished. They thought she was dead. But now if they find out she's alive, they might kill her. So she was hiding, and the voice again said, "Don't be afraid, we won't hurt you. Come out if that's you." So she peeked behind the bushes, and there was two young men. And they said, "Is that you?" And she said, she looked at them, and they looked very friendly and trustworthy. She thinks that she could trust them. She said, "Yes, it's me." And they said, they came up from their canoe, and they came up and they paddled to the shore, and they said, "We're not going to hurt you, you know, so come out and talk with us." So she came out, and they couldn't believe she was alive, and she looked so healthy. Hey, she had beautiful clothing. They said, "What were you doing?" And she said, just, you know, like she told them their story, and they couldn't believe it. These two young men, hey, they were so proud of her. And he said, "Our people are not doing good. We still can't find caribou. Many people died, and they're not doing well. People are sick." So they traveled with her for a while. Then they went and went up to the mountain, and they stayed together for a while. Then they said, they asked her to be their wife. The two guys, they said, "You're such a smart woman, and you're so skilled. We want you to be our wife." So she thought about it, and she thought of her husband, who wouldn't even look at her. And she thought, even the leader is telling him not to, but she thought he still should still try to help her. But deep down, she probably knew he couldn't, but she was still very hurt. So she told the two young men, "Yes, I will be her wife." So she ended up with two husbands. This is back in 1837, mind you. And so pretty soon, that two guys talked her into going back to the people. And she was so afraid, and she said, no, they're going to kill me. And they said, no, we'll talk to the leader, and they need you, actually. They need you for all what you have, all the meat, and they need that. So she trusted him, and they went. They talked to the chief, and he couldn't believe it. And he welcomed her back, and he couldn't believe how good she did. And they used all the dried meat and the dried fish and everything, and they gave it to the people, and everybody was happy. And she had all the gifts, and she gave it out to people, just that what she was keeping herself busy. And everybody was so proud of her, and they were learned a good lesson, too, like to be careful what you say, because it could hurt others. And even if you think it's a joke, sometimes it might be a little bit serious, and you have to watch what you say. And to observe and to take very, very pride in what you have to do, like your jobs, and because you always could help other people. And there was many lessons. So the husband, her old husband, came up to her and said he wants to take her back. And she said, nope. And the other two young men were very happy about that. Then everybody was happy. In the end.
That was Karen Wright Frazier of Yellowknife telling us an epic Gwich'in story at the Fred Henney Park at the cultural site near the Big Teepee here in Yellowknife. It's right in the heart of the park. It was kind of hard to find at the beginning, but when I found it, I found T. Bannock and great storytelling by Karen Wright Frazier and all those sitting around the circle.